Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS Full Year 2018 Results Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, Chief Executive Officer of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for participating to this conference regarding the full year result of OVS. I start saying that, yes, it has been a difficult year for this industry and for OVS as well. Some headwind like e-commerce growth and market reduction are impacting the performance of retailers, apparel retailers in particular, all across Europe with very few exceptions. Nevertheless, the disappointing performance that OVS achieved in 2018 has been also impacted by extraordinary aspects, which are peculiar somehow of our country and our company. In particular, as explained, weather in the second half has been extremely unfavorable, and with average temperature much higher compared to the normal season. And unfortunately, when weather started becoming more aligned with the auto winter condition, it was exactly in coincidence with the start of the Black Friday, with an uplift on sales but a decrease on gross margin. Then we had the second reason, which probably we have even not been able to properly explain during the former conference call, which has been the need to increase our markdown, which has not been a measure to become more competitive with reference to our competitors, but just as a measure to clear the excess of stock, which the industry and our company even more than the industry, because of the stop of the activity with the Swiss customer, has been forced to face. Both these aspects, sales drop because of weather and the markdown activity, impacted almost entirely the second half. It's worthwhile to notice that in our industry, given that the typical period for the markdown are the sales period, namely July and August, with August much more important than July, and January and February, with January much more important than February. Unfortunately, for the sake of the profitability of the second half, because our year end is end of January, we face the two most important markdown periods contemporarily in the second half, namely August and January. The consequences of the above has been lower EBITDA, and we presented in the document that has been sent to you a bridge analysis which shows you that basically 50% of the lower EBITDA has been generated by the lower sales in the second half, and another 50% by the higher markdown in the second half, while the first half performance of 2018 has been more or less in line with the year before, when the company generated 196 million. So these two effects has been only partially compensated by cost reduction, which started to be in place and which is undergoing, and the new openings. These have been the negative consequences of the maneuver, of the decision to reduce, to increase the amount of markdown. On the other side, the effect of it has been also the stronger cash generation. As we generated 65 million of cash flow in the fourth quarter, namely 47 million more than what we generated in the fourth quarter of 1 year before. And the other result has been that we have a lower inventory, and an inventory of better quality. In the third quarter, inventory was 68 million higher compared to 1 year before. At the end of January, inventory is 23 million higher than 1 year before. And when I speak, inventory is lower compared to 1 year before. So even more compared to the end of January. These, to me, represent these actions and the consequences of this action represent what we defined as the foundation for a sustainable recovery that will be generated, in our opinion, by a mix of aspects that will continue to characterize our plan and our activity. Targeted new openings for OVS. There is still room for the physical store to make money, to open. Last year we opened less store, even because we were involved in a activity of refurbishing store, but the store that has been opened generated results in line with expectation and on average a store EBITDA higher than 20% each. Then we will continue refurbishing our store because we realize that with a new concept which can generate on average about 10, if not more, percent of sales growth. And we have a slide that I would like to draw your attention later on where we are happy to say that we have discovered a new methodology, a new format where we can save more or less 50% compared to the former CapEx in terms of efficiency, of selection of material, furniture, etc. Then we have a plan to continue to grow with UPIM at an even higher rate in the future, as UPIM has is been able to demonstrate to us that they can grow along the lines of three main trajectories. One is the vertical full format of UPIM. We are growing, opening new store. UPIM is a popular brand, a proximity brand, so very suitable for openings which are not only prime location, but also second tier catchment areas where competition is lower and profitability is quite interesting. Most of this opening we are making through franchising agreement with no capex and very little risk. And the second very interesting stream of growth for UPIM is in front of our eyes in these days, because after having started the entering in a business perspective, which in my opinion is quite interesting because it goes in the direction to provide a solution to those retailers, namely hypermarkets, that are looking for specialized offer in apparel, because apparel is not their own business. And probably you have noticed that Auchan declared recently to appoint Kiabi in charge of taking care of their full apparel offer. On the back of what we already did a couple of years ago with a second-tier hypermarket company in Italy, namely Panorama, very successful, we entered recently in an important agreement with a first-tier hypermarket chain, namely Finiper, which is considered in the hypermarket industry probably the best in class in Italy. And we entered with three UPIM inside the hypermarket with extremely encouraging results. I believe that this will be another good opportunity to grow for UPIM in the B2B segment. Then the third element of the improvement will be lower markdown. In year 2018, as I said, markdown has not been generated by the need of becoming more competitive in general, but by the need of clear our inventory that was higher than necessary because of many reasons. And we expect that in the first half, it will be still necessary to introduce some markdown, but not as big as the one that we adopted in the second half of year 2018. While in the second half of 2018, even on the back of the lower inventory that we are having and the lower intake that we are buying, there will not be the need for similar markdown compared to the one that we made last year. So we expect that markdown in the future will become much lower compared to the one that we have made in year 2018. Finally, cost control, which is still undergoing. We entered in the mid of last year in an important plan of cost cutting, mostly thanks to improvements in technology and other aspects. We are not reducing the level of service that we are providing to our customers. And also, rent reduction is one of these cost reduction items. We are moving forward and delivering cost reduction in a satisfactory way. Basically, as a result of this, I think that, as we said somewhere in the document, we expect a first half of year 2019 lower in terms of EBITDA generation compared to year 2018, when the first half was equivalent to the first half of 2017, a year where the total EBITDA was 196. We expect it lower either in terms of like-for-like, because we decided to buy less in order to continue this activity of stock clearance. And we expect a slightly higher markdown activity. But in the second half, we expect that the top line might benefit at least from a weather normalization, and the markdown activity will be much lower compared to the one of last year. These are our assumptions. Obviously, we are working in order to make these assumptions happen, and we have the understanding that these assumptions are reasonable and achievable. Maybe one more element. In page 9, I would like to draw your attention on this aspect. We are changing our stores in a more inviting, warm, less crowded environment, without forgetting that entry price, low price, will remain our DNA. But clearly, we are learning that in a market where customer is more conscious about sustainability, about the circular economy, and our customer base, which is Italian families, traditional, contemporary, modern, but Italian families, they don't need only to buy cheap, but they need also to buy value for money. And they like to do it in an environment that is getting more inviting and more nice in terms of shopping experience. We asked our store design team to make a miracle, and I think they made, because the images that you can see represent the top one store that we made mid of last year, in a wave of 30 stores that we refurbished last year. On average, these 30 stores are contributing now with an about +10, +12% like-for-like increase. So this refurbishment has been very successful, and the cost per square meter was €500. In the second picture, on the lower part, you can see one store which has been refurbished this year within a wave of 20 stores, which has been refurbished during the month of March. And I think you can see that the image of the store is pretty similar quality compared to the top one. And the cost, which has been able to achieve thanks to all the research of new materials which have been made, has been cut by more than 20%, 50%. So our investment is now about €200 per square meter. And the first results during the period of March, April, as of now, are aligned with the wave of the former refurbishments made 1 year ago. So we are keen to believe that also this second wave of store will generate about 10% sales increase on the same perimeter. On the back of all I said, I believe that it is reasonable for us to expect that even if in a very challenging market with a lot of headwinds which are impacting all our peers, and I'm not only referring to the peers which are listed, the few peers that you look at, but I also refer to the many peers which we know and which are performing in a tough manner in this period in Italy and Europe. We believe that the benefit of being big and decent in terms of our know-how enable us to have a clear strategy regarding the next steps. One will be to continue moving forward with OVS, our vertical format in Italy, through selected and targeted openings without stopping making new openings, because there is a lot of value there. Through refurbishments that will be more and more less and less expensive in the future, thanks to this cost saving in the furniture that we have been able to put in place, with new opening of UPIM, DOS, but also franchising, also in smaller catchment areas where competition is lower, and in this very promising B2B industry, which is represented by the hypermarket, because I think that after this second agreement with a very reputed hypermarket in Italy, I will do my best in order to have more clients deciding to stop losing money in apparel and giving up this business to us, because we are much more specialized compared to them. We expect that CapEx will be lower than in the last year, and obviously compared to the year 2018, where CapEx has also been impacted by these restructurings, which we need to put in place in order to demonstrate to ourselves that the new format can work and can generate interest by the customers. Margins, we expect that will improve. There will be still a very disciplined approach to the intake in year 2018, because the priority to generate cash, to improve the stock turn, and to become more and more flexible in a slogan that we are using inside, which is buying later, buying better, and buy also lower compared to the year before, and to buy eventually more close to the season with a fast fashion when needed, we generate probably a modest negative like-for-like, even because the market is expected to be still modestly negative, but this should be more than compensated by the lower markdown and the cost initiative combined with the new openings and the refurbishments, particularly the new opening of UPIM, but not only. So we believe that these are the conditions to expect at least a partial recovery of the full year EBITDA in full year 19 compared to the EBITDA generated in 2018. And on the top of it, our assumptions tell us clearly in our model that the cash generation will be material and will continue to improve. So this is what I had to tell to you, and I hope that I've been able to be clear enough, and we are happy to receive your questions now. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Bonfa with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. Hope you can hear me. My question are the following. First of all, if you can clarify the net debt performance at the end of the year, if you can confirm that we need to subtract the vendor loan from the 80.7 million capex that you specify in page 8 of the presentation, and that this vendor loan is amounting to approximately 18 million. And then if you can remind us how much was the proceed from the disposal of that quarter, which I researched yesterday, and I wasn't able to find it quickly. And secondly, I got a generic question on your stock option plan. The cumulative EBITDA target of 550 million, is that possible for you to elaborate on how do you expect to reach ideally this target, if it's more with openings, I mean developmental network, or if you are expecting a recovery in like-for-like, for instance? And secondly, how much is going to impact the dollar in your, let's say, EBITDA growth assumption for this year? These are, for the time being, my question. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is Nicola. Perina, I start with the question number one and number three. So the net proceed from the disposal of the headquarter building has been 16 million net of fees and other, and these are part of the third quarter cash flow. It's not impacting the fourth quarter cash flow. And in terms of vendor financing for the refurbishing activity, the total amount was 18 million. And we are paying on a monthly basis this 18 million. So outstanding at the end of 2018, January 2019, it's the major part of these figures. And we are going to pay in the next 3 years according to additional EBITDA that the stores that has been refurbishing will generate. So it's a match between, is a matching between the exit, the cash out, and the cash in coming from the stores. Of course, this is a part of the net debt of the company. In terms of hedging and
sorry, Nicola, I think we need to be clear here. I think the question was, if I understood correctly, you asked if the vendor financing was included in the capex made by the company. The question, if this is the question, the answer is yes. The 18 million vendor financing has been included in the capex, because the capex has been made, and part of this capex, instead of being financed with financial working capital debt, has been financed by suppliers. So it's payable, basically, which will be repaid on a period of time, as Nicola Perin described.
No, but I think it's clear, Stefano. If I may, if you hadn't reached such an agreement with your, let's say, landlord, your net debt would have been 18 million euro higher. So now you are paying this 18 million deferred in 3 years. Is that what I'm
yes,
understanding?
It's correct. It's correct.
Okay, perfect. No, that's absolutely clear. No problem about that.
Okay, and the third question about the U.S. dollar hedging in the P&L 2019. So 2018 P&L is based on 1.15 exchange rate standard, and the 2019 will be based on 1.19. So there will be a marginal positive impact on the intake volume. And then I need to
Regarding the the threshold, the amount of 550 million, which has been put as a condition for the stock option plan. You asked if I can elaborate on how it will be achieved. We believe that it will be gradual, so we don't foresee jumps from 1 year to the other, 1 year high and 1 year low. So we expect, as we already said, an initial recovery in year 2018 on the back of the reasons which I already described. Then we expect to continue recovery as a combination of new openings and margin improvements, and also these other business which I'm mentioning, like the growth of UPIM, which will be held partially through new openings and partially through achieving increasing the presence in the existing customers, because Finiper is a network of more than 20 hypermarkets. We just entered in three of them with a very high level of satisfaction from the owners and the managers. You can see one of them in Verona, or you can see one of them in Arese. And because the turnover are much higher compared to the expectation of the present or the former performance of apparel, it is likely to expect that this stream of growth will continue to happen. As far as concerned the like-for-like, I take the opportunity to say that in a shrinking market, and I don't see how the Italian market in the short term might expect to dramatically increase, the creation of value cannot be achieved mostly or based on like-for-like. We all the time try to improve our like-for-like. Sometime we have been able to do, like in year 2014, in a shrinking market, we improved like-for-like dramatically. This depends from many things, from basically from the product, from the way you do the product, and from your operations. Our operations are improving. Our flexibility is improving very much. And this is why we have been able to stop buying during the year 2018 and to reduce the stock, not because we sold more, but also because we stopped in a very late moment the orders that we placed. So the flexibility became mandatory in this industry. But I think that the value creation that we expect to do, and this is why we decided that the threshold of 550 million was reasonable, not because it is a business plan, but because it is something that on average tells that in 3 years we should achieve on average 183 million EBITDA, which we believe it is something that it is not easy, given the market condition, but feasible because of what I said, independently from the like-for-like. Then if the like-for-like will be minus 2, all this target will be achievable. If like-for-like will be minus 6, it will be difficult. Nevertheless, as you can see from last year's result, if you consider that more than 50% of the EBITDA reduction has been driven by markdown and not by like-for-like, you can make some assumption consequently.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Fabio Fazzari with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question about the gross margin, and in particular, since you explained that you are now more focused on the in-season refurbishment, if this lower volume that you order modified a little bit your power in negotiation, and which kind of impact you could have on your gross margin only for this changing condition?
No, it is not impacting in any way. This question has been raised several times, and I understand the question. I understand where does the question come from. We don't make public evidence of the intake. We only give you audited figure regarding the gross margin. But I can tell you, honestly, our intake is not suffering, didn't suffer, even after the lower quantities compared to the Csasvégele assumptions, our intake is still solid, and the intake is not depending from the quantities that we are buying more or less in this period. What our suppliers are recognizing is that within an industry which is generally suffering, our performance are not lower compared to a year ago in terms of total amount of sales. This is what they take care. And also it's very important for them that because our supply chain between UPIM and OVS is the same, we have same vendors, basically the lower growth rate of OVS in the last 18 months has been also compensated by the higher growth rate of UPIM. So we are not having any issue in this moment in terms of relation with vendors which are compromising the sourcing competitiveness. Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. A few questions from my side. The first one is on the gross margin. Could you please tell us how it should move this year? And if you believe that in the medium terms, let's say in 2 or 3 years time, OVS can go back to the level achieved in the past. So, for example, in 2017, when it was close to 60%. The second question is on the stock level. If you can tell us what you consider to be a normalized level for a company such as OVS with this contribution from the franchising format. And final question is on the accumulated EBITDA embedded in the stock option plan. You mentioned several items driving the accumulated EBITDA at 550 million euros. So if you can please rank those factors starting from the most important. So just to understand if the openings is the main driver explaining the expected EBITDA recovery, or is the margin improvement that you were mentioning. Thank you.
Well, on the gross margin, very much will depend from also the behavior of competitors and market. But I think that competitors, and namely because we mostly operate in Italy, our competitors are people like Benetton, like Piazza Italia, like H&M, and partially like Zara. But because the decision to buy Zara in Italy and probably worldwide is more driven by the need of buying some fashionable item from a lady, why the decision to buy OVS is because of a combination of factors, including proximity, family, kids, price to value. I believe that Zara is not as the competitor of OVS like the other that I mentioned. And fortunately for OVS, the other competitors are in a much worse condition in Italy compared to OVS. I don't think Benetton or... Well, based on what I know, Benetton is deciding to increase the prices, changing strategy. And Benetton is still the second biggest player or third biggest player in the market. H&M in Italy has lost hugely, and I don't think they have they cannot afford to reduce price and losing gross margin more than what they are doing as of now. So I don't expect from the competitive landscape the need of becoming more competitive in order to react to somebody which is representing a threat to our market share. So basically, technically speaking, the loss of gross margin this year has been entirely driven by our decision to clear stock. If we hadn't do that, the quality of the stock would be worse, and this is not the best way to improve margins. So technically speaking, margins can improve to the level of the past. Not in year 2019, obviously, but in a couple of years, they might. The other good news in this big, small world is that competitors like Zalando announced to stop taking care of private label. They realize that they are making losses by selling garments with private label, and they prefer to become a marketplace dedicated to offer their services to premium or luxury brand. In any case, whatever decision they will do, they announced that they are not investing anymore in competing directly with us, at least, which is a decent news in my opinion. Again, enabling on a medium term to think that the gross margin could improve. Then, regarding the stock level, we believe that there is another 50 million of stock reduction that we want to achieve in order to have the right amount of stock in light of our business model, including the kids, and as you correctly mentioned, the weight of the franchising. And regarding the stock option, the stock option of 550 million, which is the target for the 3 years, I think that the main driver that I already mentioned can be split proportionally. There will be an important contribution for the higher gross margin, that's for sure, which is, I call it automatic, in my opinion. There will be the contribution of new opening and the franchising new opening of Upim. In the new openings, we will have more franchising or B2B things other than DOS, but they will continue to open in DOS, and we believe that this will be another important element with lower CapEx compared to the past, thanks to the new format that we have been able to finalize. And also cost reduction and rent reduction will be another important element. The landlords which we are meeting are realizing that the market leader, which is us, is struggling in the market, and also the share price, which has been very negative for us, has been at least used to justify the need of realizing that you guys, you which are looking at retail from a scientific point of view, analyst point of view, realize that the physical market is difficult and the landlord cannot continue to imagine that in a declining market, the rent can remain stable. And we are achieving good results in terms of rent reduction during these months. And we expect that this will be another contributor to the increased profitability.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Emanuele Mazzoni with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My first question is on refinancing. In press release, you mentioned that you already closed some minor changes with banks, among which you mentioned the possibility to issue capital market instruments. So maybe if you could provide us more color on this. And then you mentioned that you have already defined a timetable for the entire process. So if you could provide us with more details on the timing for a potential outcome in terms of the wider process of refinancing. And then given the fact that you are mentioning new openings as an important part of your future growth for the next 3 years, I would ask you to provide us with a guidance in terms of space effect at top line level, particularly, I guess, for 2020, but also for 2019, if possible. And then if you could provide us with a precise guidance in terms of CapEx for the 2020. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. On the financing, I I would limit to say that we are about to start meeting banks again on the back of a much better cash position now, because we didn't mention precisely, but we can say today that as I said before, that the stock level today is much better than 2 months ago, so year-end 31st January. It is also true that the net financial position today is better, much better than in terms of gap reduction compared to the one that we had at 31st January. So this has been a surprise for banks. It has not been a surprise for us, because we were working very hard in order to achieve this result with the stock clearance that we made. But when we sit with the banks rediscussing the condition for the refinancing, we will sit with them starting from a cash position that will be very close to the one that we had 1 year ago, when the banking system was ready to refinance OVS at much better condition compared to what the market then decided to do. So basically, in October, when the banks decided all but one to confirm the extension of the credit line, and you read from the newspaper that only one bank decided not to give its commitment to the renewal, claiming that UK clients were suffering too much in the retail, etc., etc. The approval for the refinancing was already given, in spite of a net financial position that was about 100 million worse compared to 1 year ago. In 1 month from now, the net financial position will be very close to the one that we had 1 year ago. Not 1 year ago, call it the shortfall will be almost to zero, and this will be the best condition, to be precise, the gap versus 1 year ago is about close to zero, and this will be the base, the best condition to renegotiate with banks. The timing, I prefer not to elaborate. It will depend from also the third parties, which are the bank. We are not in a stress, because you know that the credit line expires 1 year from now. But the first indication which we are receiving from banks are very, very, very positive. Then you asked about
guidance for the new opening. Guidance for
Nicola, you can give maybe you can tell us something more regarding the CapEx. I don't think we want to give a number, no, Nicola. I think we said and we reiterate that the CapEx will be much lower compared to year 2018 because the new openings and the combined number of new openings and refurbishing will be lower, and because many new openings will be franchising. So you can assume, Nicola, can we say something more here? Or what do you want to say?
Yeah, well, you can assume that for the development of the plan in 2019, we are thinking about from 40 to 50 million capex, so much less compared to last year.
And that's a figure that we can consider as feasible, as fair, also for the next 2 years. So with a three-year horizon.
For the time being, yes.
And then there was a question regarding guidance on
the opening. For the new
opening. On the opening. But I think you can see combined. We can assume that if in the past we grew by about 4% per year in terms of new footprint, I think we can assume that we can go about 2% per year now. But, you know, if we find just one good agreement with one hypermarket, it will be another 20 store of 1,000 square meter each. So difficult to make a guidance when you start also having not only DOS opening in your pipeline, but also B2B opportunities. So this is more difficult. We will give you more light during the next meeting and calls.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Joe Brooklyn with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. Just on the rents and your negotiations with the landlords, for how many stores did you now renegotiate the rents, and what is still, let's say, your upside for 2019? Thanks.
We are approaching all the landlords with no distinction. Every time we make a refurbishment, we make the refurbishing upon the condition that the landlord understand that we are giving value to his store and accept to give us a mix of either CapEx contribution or rent-free or rent reductions, which is a combination of factors. In absence of one of these, at least one of these conditions, normally we don't refurbish the store and we move to another one. We are approaching all the landlords. In this moment, 60% of the landlord has been met with one or more meetings. I personally met the biggest ones, and they realize when they speak with us, they realize that we are performing on average better than all the other players, and they are not happy, obviously, to realize that we are asking them to do what they know they must do, but they are providing a decent level of support, I would say, to our questions. All the remaining 40% will be met in the next coming 2 months, and in the same time, other meeting will be finalized. At this moment, given that, as you can imagine, we cannot give visibility on something which it is not in our hands. We cannot give you visibility on something that depends from other parties' decision, but we can say that we are in line with our original expectation and happy to notice that the landlord, even after, you know, it takes 2, 3, sometimes 4 meetings, we are supported by the fact that other competitors, namely H&M, decided to send a letter to all the landlords asking for a discount. This is not the way in Italy landlords are supportive to operate. We decided to have another approach. We meet very gently every landlord, every single landlord. We spend time explaining the reason, motivating the reason, showing all the reason why they have to consider this. And after long and polite meetings, very often, maybe after 2 or 3 meetings, the answer is yes, and the question is 10% discount, 15% discount, 5% discount, a mix of discount or CapEx contribution. It's a very time-consuming activity, but is made by a team of people which are motivated and which know that the retail sector is changing and that the value of the real estate is not anymore the same that was true 10 years ago. Consider the following. Our new openings are on average based on a rent cost of 210 euro per square meter, while 10 years ago they were 300. And the landlord know that if they have still a rent of 300, sooner or later they have to bring it down. Otherwise, if we decide sometime also, and this is why in this period we are opening less stores, we don't want to give them the impression that we are too eager to open, and we prefer sometime to be more disciplined and to say, okay, we don't open, because with the same lender we are already asking a rent discount in another existing store, and we don't want to show that rent discussion is less important than new opening. So once we exercise our break option, and it happened in this beginning of the year 3 times, the reaction is extremely good. They realize that very unlikely they can find another retailer today which is willing to pay more, and maybe after 2 or 3 meetings, they sit down and they decided to accept our request.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. So thank you for participating to this conference, and hope to see some of you during the next meeting that we will have the opportunity to make. And I say hello to everyone. Goodbye. Thank you.